Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Jizz Talking for a Sunday. Yes, we are back from Exotica and we've all caught colds and we're getting over those. And it's just like the avian flu and the Exotica flu. Everybody comes home sick. And imagine that we're going to talk about healthcare today. Jamie is with us. Jamie, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, here's the deal. And I really... Oh, Jamie, an apology. So every time I go to California, I say, Jamie, he and I get together. And so I say, yeah, great idea. So what we do is we end up going to, well, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings one time. And then I think we maybe a couple times at little Tony's. And then what we do is we end up sitting in the opposite ends of the room and we don't talk to each other.
Here's
the lad. I was going to show you a picture of that just to show you what we're all talking about here. We were at Herschel Savage Memorial there, and of course you see me on one side, kind of in the middle, and you see Jamie on the other side.
All the way at the other,
So that's kind of what happens. So we just kind of nod and wave, and that's how it happens. But anyway, it's always good to see Jamie wherever we go, because he always does give me a nod and a wave anyway. Jamie, let's talk about what you're up to these days.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I give you just a little background here, like my involvement in the adult industry. My full-time gig is at the Los Angeles LGBT Center as medical director of the sexual health program. So I see a lot of folks from the adult industry, you know, in our clinics. They may or may not be members of the LGBTQ community. We're just a sex positive, safe space for folks to get healthcare. We are a federal health center, meaning that we can see folks that don't have health insurance. So as a result of my job with the center, I became involved with the organization called PASS, which is the Performer Availability Screening System. Let's see, that was in 2021. I joined the board of directors and then later was named their medical director. That's a volunteer position for me. And for those that aren't familiar, PASS oversees the health and wellness standards for the adult industry. So for talent, crew, anyone involved in the industry, and as you may or may not know, the testing standards are pretty rigorous for adult industry talent. Currently, there's every 14-day testing requirements for HIV and STIs, and so that's pretty much, you know, how I'm involved in the industry out here in Los Angeles, gotten to know a lot of folks from the industry. I try to attend events to have a presence out there, you know, so we can hear from folks what their concerns are, health concerns, as a result of working in the adult industry, and how we can improve on that.
I tell you one thing that comes across right away is you have to be Mr. Secret Keeper. The level of confidentiality that is on your shoulders must just be huge.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, I think folks in the adult industry have had, you know, oftentimes have had negative experiences in healthcare, facing a lot of judgment, stigma. And so, you know, I'm very honored that I've earned the trust of folks. So yeah, absolutely, Patrick. You know, there's that confidentiality. Some people like to, you know, they come and see me and they like to tweet out that they were, you know, they came into the clinic, you know, to kind of promote things among their colleagues, you know, get vaccinated for whatever, you know, the current thing is, or get on PrEP, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
What would be the procedure? A guy and a gal are going to shoot a scene. Mm-hmm. What What are the steps on making sure I've got what I need and they've got what they need and we can make it happen?
Yeah. Great question. So right now, let's see, there are probably five testing labs in Los Angeles, and then that are involved in adult industry testing. And then they're scattered also in Las Vegas, Miami, and not so much up in the Bay Area. I think there's only one option. But so folks go to one of those labs and get their testing panel. Results are usually available in about 24 to 48 hours. They have the results are then available on their phone. There's a QR code that can be scanned, all in an attempt to, you know, make sure folks aren't falsifying test results. Although there was recently a case in the industry of that happening. It happened through a non-PASS certified lab, so a lab that doesn't, you know, participate with the PASS testing standards. And so the results are shared. Sometimes they're reviewed by the production manager on the set, and then shared with their coworker for the day. And yeah, so it's pretty comprehensive testing: gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, HIV, trichomonas, and now Mycoplasma genitalium. So,
wow, what a and of course, you know, as well as I do, after especially after Exotic last weekend with a couple of special guests they had, there's a lot of chatty Cathys there and a lot of rumors, scoops, and scandals, they say, going around. And I was really discouraged by some of it because people I thought better of were talking. And I thought, oh, man, you don't need to say that shit. I mean, you just don't need to say that. It's not positive. And I mean, people were there just to, A, make some money, and B, to come out and celebrate a gathering of fans of adult entertainment. And
Right.
They didn't need in the background a bunch of chatter, and
yeah,
that's what kind of made it sad. So, Jamie, how long, of course, have you been working with this organization?
Well, I've been with the LGBT Center for 7 years, and then I've been working with the Adult Industry Organization for 3 years now. And I met the executive director in 2020 at AVN, right before the COVID lockdown. And we were talking and just, you know, a lot of the work that I was doing at the LGBT Center aligned with the work that PASS does. And, at that time, if you want a little bit more history there, so, and I know Howie, you're definitely familiar with AIM, Sharon Mitchell's, clinic, that, let's see, founded in 1998 in Los Angeles. Adult Industry Medical, AIM, and Sharon ran that clinic until 2011. When AIM closed, the Free Speech Coalition, or FSC, took over the oversight of the testing program that Sharon started. Just a brilliant model that Mitch started in terms of getting folks tested, doing contact tracing of scene partners, you know, if somebody did test positive, then getting those scene partners in for more immediate testing. At that time, they were testing every 30 days. So when AIM closed, Free Speech Coalition took over, and then PASS was a program within Free Speech Coalition to handle the health piece of the industry. 2021, PASB broke off from FSC and became its own nonprofit organization. And that's when I joined the board of directors. So, been seeing folks from the industry for about 7 years now, but formally involved for the last three.
Okay. All right. I'd reached out to Sharon and must be busy because she never gave me a response. She does send me a hat of the day picture. So I had a picture of her with a hat every day. So
okay.
She didn't come back with me on this. She must have otherwise, because I'm sure she would have hopped
in. Yeah, I've had the honor of meeting her and having dinner with her and talking about the history of AIM and how PASS is trying to carry on her legacy of all the great work she did.
She's always a caring person. Probably this is one of those things where she cared, in some respects, cared more for the health of others than she did for the health of herself.
Yeah.
And that's a true giver, but you got to learn in this business, you got to take care of yourself too. Otherwise, you're going
to find
an eight ball there. Richard Pacheco's with us. Richard, what did you guys have this back in the day? What did you guys do? Just spit in a tin can and you're good to go?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say thank you for the job you're doing.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor.
November 10th, 1984, first headline, San Francisco Chronicle, of the heterosexual transmission of AIDS. Two prostitutes had infected two Johns. A friend of mine who was a mathematician, one of the leaders of the free speech movement at Cal from the 60s, Michael Rossman, shows up at my front door and says, I've been doing some calculations based on the Chronicle story. You're in the wrong business at the wrong time. You got to quit.
Wow.
I went, oh, fuck. I don't want to hear that. After 10 years, I went from nobody, and I mean nobody, to $1,000 a day. And I just started at that level. I did not want to hear this at all.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, they're just selling newspapers. I have three jobs lined up for December. I wanted to do them. My wife, I had a wife and babies by then, she was already getting pretty tired of me being in the porn business. It started out as something that was fascinating to her, into 10 years later, something she wished I was done doing. And like I said, I was just beginning to go to Hugh Hefner's house. I didn't want to quit.
Sure.
So I did the jobs, and I came home, and we go to bed that night, and I reach for her, and she says, do you think we ought to? And in my best John Leslie imitation, I said, what? And she said, quote, don't you think it would be prudent if one of us remained alive to raise the kids?
Oh, wow.
And that was the brick wall. In the morning, not only was I retired, I was fucking monogamous. What a 1-2 punch from the creator of the universe.
Wow.
First job I took right after that was as an AIDS information specialist. It had just begun in San Francisco, training people to talk to people.
Oh.
And was being taught by people with AIDS. And I went to the first day of the training, and nobody knew fucking anything about how this disease was being transmitted. We're shaking hands. We're breathing the same air. We're hugging, and I'm wondering, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And back then, I don't know how the symptoms are playing out these days, but there was something called Kaposi's sarcoma.
Right.
Purple splotches. So these people had a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I spent all day there, and I was frightened the whole time.
Yeah.
And I come home with the babies and my wife. What am I bringing in the house? I lasted about a week in the training, and then I couldn't take it. Because what happened was, two of the people that taught the first day's classes, by the end of the week, they were dead.
Sure.
There were massive numbers of deaths in San Francisco. When I started making money, I used to go to this hair salon. I don't go to a barber anymore. I go to a salon. And it was very fancy in San Francisco. Jerry's was the name of it. And they had 50, 60 people working there. I think 50 of them were dead within the first couple of months. The next year, they just died. AIDS swept through San Francisco, taking a terrible toll. So I was gone, and it wasn't until a year later we started hearing about safe sex. So I'm thanking you, because you seem to be a person of common sense and some intelligence, and we were lacking that for our information in the industry. The industry, what AIDS?
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't want anything fucking with the golden goose that was laying the golden eggs.
Oh, yes.
They did not want to hear about AIDS. I became persona non grata, just bringing up the subject around sets and talking to the other actors. I'd get in fights with my friends who wanted to keep working and didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Paul Thomas said to me, look, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I didn't feel that way with babies. And, you know, I just,
sure.
it just changed everything. And this is one of the reasons I tuned in today is because I wanted to know what's going on now. Because, I mean, when I got out of the business, I got out of the business. I didn't keep up with it. And so this being participating in the show has been a wonderful place for me to be, to see the state of the art, not only with the talent, but disease consciousness and who's looking out for anybody and how do we stay healthy and keep playing.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, in talking to Mitch about, you know, she was in New York at the time and, you know, using injection drugs and when HIV came on the scene. So yeah, quite a scary time. You know, fortunately, fast forward now, it's a much different picture. You know, it's become a chronic, manageable condition. The medications keep folks healthy and alive. And even better, we can prevent it with a medication, you know, known as PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis. A lot of folks in the industry are taking PrEP. It's a once-a-day pill that's over 99% effective at preventing HIV. So takes a lot of that fear out of working in the industry. Not everyone takes it, but, you know, just anyone who wants it is able to get it. So pretty amazing. You know, it took some decades there to get to where we are, but the fact that, you know, we can treat this and prevent it is quite something. I mean, I started practicing as, 1997. So things that were very early, you know, in turning around with, you know, the new medications that came out at that time. But yeah, definitely a very different time. I can't imagine for you all working back then, you know, how scary it could have been.
Like I said, it ruined lots of relationships, and the industry had its head in the sand, didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
And it pretty much stayed that way. And the people, a lot of people like myself, just backed away.
Yeah.
Until we discovered safe sex. But I never, you know, when I would put my dick in a condom, it didn't really titillate me that on the other side of the condom might be death. I didn't find that particularly arousing.
Sure.
It was over for me. It was over.
Yeah. What year did you finish?
Well, I 1984, I stopped working for a year.
Okay.
And then safe sex became possible, and I went back and I did 4 movies.
Okay.
In 3 of them, I couldn't get a hard on. Because, you know, and the one I did, God bless her, I worked with Hypatia Lee in the Red Garter, and she was so gorgeous. My God, I always wanted to work with her. And this was the chance to work with her. And it was going to be a safe sex scene and a condom. So there was something we called back then the AIDS blowjob. The rule was no exchange of bodily fluid. So the AIDS blowjob was you did not take the head, the glands in your mouth. You sucked the side of the shaft.
And okay.
You wouldn't get any pre-cum.
Got
and that's what we used. And the sex scene was happening, and then I just failed. Like I said, the idea that I'm dealing with death was just not the one. And when I got soft, there's a panic that goes with that, especially there's no Viagra. There's no cavalry coming in to save
you.
You know, the only thing that happens is they take you out and they stand somebody stands in for you. And the shame, especially for someone who's now is getting paid, they don't want to give me $1,000 a day for a fake cum shot. Anyway, Hypatia took me in her mouth fully. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't thinking. I was completely relieved because I responded by getting hard and finishing the scene. And then afterward, I just risked my life. She just risked her life. That was fucking stupid. We should not have done that. And that's really, really made me right. I couldn't even trust myself. So I didn't, nothing happened from that, thank the Lord, but it was enough to say I'm done.
But it was the equivalency of passing a loaded revolver back and forth.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. You never knew. And there are people in the industry, I mean, God bless us. We have been always a wide range of humanity, from true scumbags to saints. And they're all there and all mixing together, playing. And you never knew who's going to be who and what was going to be what. I mean, the revelation of Holmes working after he knew he had AIDS. Come on. I mean, how can you conscience that in any way, shape, or form? It's just insanity. And that's what you're up against. People whose names or careers were more important than your life. Well, fuck you, pal.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to James. James, go ahead. Question for Jamie.
All right. Thank you, Jamie, for being here. Wonderful work that you're doing. Wonderful
thank
work.
You. Thank you.
I love most of the people that are in the industry. I really love them to death. There are some people like Howie said, that are scumbags. Mm-hmm. And they are in the industry, and they are mostly like the studio people, or maybe not the studio people, more the independent filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they will do is they'll tell new talent that testing's not all that necessary. And they'll say all that kind of stuff to them.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest myths that you would like to dispel to anybody that's just starting in the industry that might be conveyed to them by some of these scumbags that will have them just have sex without any kind of, you know, just willy-nilly up there, just, you know, just to fill some type of content?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you make such a good point, James, because and there's also a lot of, you know, young folks that come into the industry with absolutely, you know, no information. I mean, you know, if you come in at 18, 19, I mean, who really thinks about taking care of their health at that age? You know, I think, you know, that lack of education, which is where, you know, our organization PASS comes in, where we're trying to get out the information. I've been recently working with a director named Five Star, who's on our PASS board. She's a producer and director up in the Bay Area. And we've been filming health education videos to try to get these messages out. Because I think some folks are, you know, if they're taken advantage of and told they're not at risk, if we do this, it's safe, you know, and they don't know any better. And they need to make money. And so
they're completely coming in it blind, and they don't
know. And so when they're not working for, you know, one of the bigger studios that's requiring this past testing documentation, you know, to have a 14-day clearance, it's very easy to get taken advantage of. And a close friend of mine who has been a performer and a production manager, Casey Warner, started an organization here in Los Angeles called Sunday Fair. So once a month at her home, she hosts a day of wellness, health and wellness for anyone in the industry. I'm there every month being able, you know, to answer questions, for folks. It's a great day of wellness, you know, a lot of meditation and yoga and a lot of kind of, you know, hippy dippy stuff. That's really cool, but it's a space for newer folks or anyone obviously in the industry. But, we've seen a lot of kind of newer, younger performers that moved to Los Angeles and they just don't have that education. But they can come and talk to their peers. They can talk to me, and really, you know, become more educated.
Right. Are steps being taken to make it mandatory for these for the younger performers to come in?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when they're with these independent and, you know, OnlyFans and all these different platforms now.
It's
very tough. Like that's a really good point you made. When when they're working, yeah, for studios or they have an agent, then the testing is mandatory. There's no way around it. But when they're kind of branching out or working in these independent platforms, there's, other than trying to educate people, it's just really hard to, you know, make it mandatory.
Yeah, I think it's just so, I feel so sorry for the ones that are just coming in and they get the wrong information from, from these content creators that just, you know, that just want to hurry up and get the scene made and put it out there.
Well, right. We're an industry that was born in rebellion, and it's always been a part and parcel of the industry to go against established authority.
Yeah.
Even when it works against us and our best interest, as certainly as actors are concerned, because we're the ones at risk. So, but I understand all that. I mean, that those kind of things, we were the rebels, and that the whole industry was illegal, and shooting was illegal, and you're stealing. Yeah. So that whole mentality, we're outside the purview of the authorities. And now we're sitting in a gray zone in the middle there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that now that it is legal and it is so prominent, I think that whenever a story like this comes up of a performer that, you know, maybe gets, you know, catches something or something like that, that's what puts a dark cloud over the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the first thing that comes out is that, yeah, this is what it's all about.
You see? And with social media,
content creators that, you know, just let these newer performers run uneducated. They're the ones that are actually hurting the industry the most.
Yeah. And with social media, when those situations happen, they spread like wildfire, and we end up having to do a lot of damage control then. In the case that happened recently with the performer that was forging dates on his tests, got banned from the testing facility and from the PASS database. That doesn't prevent him from, you know, independently producing content, but then again, potentially taking advantage of, you know, someone who's not educated or, you know, and I totally get it. A lot of times it's about finance, you know, they need to make money and unfortunately it can put their health at risk.
Yeah. Well, that's no excuse in putting a person's life at risk.
Absolutely not.
And affecting a whole industry like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it from the person working with them, not from the person, you know, perpetrating that. But if somebody is, you know, desperate to work, then they're just easy prey for these folks to take advantage and put them at risk, which is pretty awful.
And I think that happens a little bit at Exotica is you have, under the ideal situation, everybody's tested and they're kind of operating in a bubble. Well, then that's good for Thursday and probably most of Friday and Saturday. Well, somebody could use some money and work outside the bubble. Then back on Sunday, then what the hell? I mean,
And you have folks that outside of filming, you know, they're escorting and you know, other things. And so that can bring things into the performer pool. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget, next week our guest is going to be Angel Graves. So don't forget, Angel Graves is our guest next week here on Jizz Talking. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at Jizz Talking. We're on Twitter at Jizz Talking, Instagram Jizz Talking. I have a whole bunch of new photos up on the Jizz Talking Instagram page from Exotica, and also on YouTube at YouTube.com/@JizzTalking. And you'll find this very broadcast. And then all over on Monday morning, just type in Jizz Talking in podcast. You'll see a whole bunch of episodes. So we're on 17 different audio podcasts. So that's kind of where we're at. We'll switch things over to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, doing good. And glad to see you here, James.
Thank you.
One question for you. people that don't seem to get the proper care because of their status and, you know, the prejudices against people. Is there, like, per se, a law firm or some groups that have done maybe class action suits against these doctors or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are industry attorneys. Usually in that case, if a performer is in that position, usually reaching out to the Free Speech Coalition, they can connect them with, you know, legal resources or free resources. I know, you know, I mentioned the Sunday Fair event that we have here in LA, and I know one of there's an industry attorney that shows up quite often to the event, and I know he does a lot of pro bono work for people that, you know, have, for whatever the case may be, whether it's, you know, issues with agents or studios or, you know, other issues where there's been discrimination or things like that. So Free Speech Coalition does wonderful work on that side, on the legal and advocacy side, where we're, you know, the health piece to that.
Yeah, the doctors can get very creative on their discrimination, you know. So have you seen it? Have you seen it get worse or better with this situation? Because they're sharper now on discriminating now.
You know, I hear heartbreaking stories all the time where you know, someone will come in to see me and they'll say, I went, you know, wherever, and they told me if I weren't doing what I'm doing, I wouldn't be putting myself at risk, in, you know, or basically saying, you know, I don't know anything about your situation. I, you know, to try to dismiss them or get rid of them. So I hear these stories, and you know, even in a place like Los Angeles, it still surprises me, and it probably shouldn't, but you would think this is something that a lot of healthcare providers here, you know, have had patients that are adult, you know, industry workers. But it happens all the time. And so that's why, like, you know, part of my role is to, you know, promote these safe spaces where people can come and feel fully safe and comfortable disclosing, you know, whatever is going on, whatever with their occupation. And look, we're here just to take care of your health and keep you healthy, and not, you know, there's no judgment. In fact, it's quite opposite. We're very welcoming to sex workers, but unfortunately that's not the case everywhere. And even, you know, I've heard these stories even with large institutions here in Los Angeles, where you just think, you know, they should be more progressive if they're, you know, healthcare part of a university system, but it's not the case always. But opposite to that, I do have folks that reach out and they're like, oh, I have a gynecologist or primary doctor, whatever, who, you know, I'm comfortable talking with, and you know, they're fully open to being educated about issues, you know, that adult performers face. Yeah, it can really go either way.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're on, like, a format like this, because there's a lot of people that would really want to get involved and really don't have any information on how or what to do, or, you know, who to talk to about it. This is a good platform spread that information for.
Thank you.
And how do we get a hold of you, or how do we contact your organization? And put that in, and I'll write something up on the
site. Yeah. So me personally, I mean, most folks reach out to me on Twitter, and I'm Jamie, JameyNP, as in nurse practitioner. So at JamieNP on Twitter. On Instagram, I'm Jamie_NP. To reach out to the organization, it's PASS, PASS, certified.org. There's also a Twitter page for PASS, which I think is at PASS Certified. And folks can also submit questions, concerns, via those pages. And a lot of it, if it's health related, gets back to me then. The folks who monitor those emails then will forward me any health related issues.
How big is your staff, Gene? How many people do you have working for you?
Well, with PASS, it's an executive director and three part-time employees, so it's a very small nonprofit. Now, the Los Angeles LGBT Center is about 800 employees. It's the largest provider of LGBT healthcare actually in the world. So it's a huge organization, but PASS is very small.
Okay. All right. Eric is with us. Eric, go ahead. Question for Jamie.
Okay. Oh, nothing right here. Just see how they say hi, Jamie. I guess that you've taken over for AIM, so you're doing the same thing what they used to do at their offices, I guess, where they used to be. What was it? Ventura Boulevard? I'm not sure. They had another one. I think there's one out in Chatsworth, or if you had to kind of put their testing, consolidate the offices down to one place.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, I think, in Sherman Oaks on Ventura. For the, 12, 13 years that Sharon was in operation. That was a little before my time in Los Angeles, but, when I was living in Chicago at the time, and I remember reading her story and reading about the AIM clinic and just, being fascinated by it, but also just so impressed by the work that she did. And now fast forward to today, it's quite an honor to be able to try to carry on, the work that she started. Okay.
Charles, I think, Charles, you and James have met before, correct, Jamie? You and
I
Charles?
Think we did, yeah.
Yeah, I think at Buffalo Wild Wings, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, hey, you guys, I wanted to say thank you so much for doing this, because one, I think education is so important. I've lost a couple family members to AIDS. I lost a family friend. This was back in the 80s when it was kind of, known and unknown and it was, honestly terrifying. I remember having a couple of things that, I went to college in LA in the 80s, and I remember them doing a couple like AIDS awareness things that were designed to educate and designed to protect people and safe sex, and I remember that. And it's so important, and I think it's even more important in the adult industry as well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get, I don't know if it gets mentioned enough, or because we're outside of the industry that we don't see it.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you and say, keep doing this, please.
Thank you so much for saying that.
I know it's also got to be really difficult and disheartening to do it too at times, I think.
It sometimes is challenging for sure. We definitely see the benefits to it. I mean, the incidence of HIV in the adult industry now is extremely low. It's very rare to have a case of HIV. And because of the systems that Mitch put in place, I mean, we still use a version of that to do the contact tracing. And then PASS has the authority to call production holds as well. So if it's at a point where, it's really best for everybody to shut down production for a few days to get folks in and get them tested. Of course, we hate to do that because we don't want people to lose their income, but we also have to, first and foremost,
you want to protect people as well. Yeah.
Keep them healthy.
Which is so important too.
Yeah. I mean, we had to do it a couple of years ago for a rampant chlamydia outbreak. And it just got to be at a point where we had to get people in, get them tested and treated, because it was just spreading, like wildfire. I mean, fortunately, the things we're dealing with mostly are curable with antibiotics. Most of them are bacterial infections. Other non-curable things like herpes, is pretty prevalent in the industry. But I always tell people, it's interesting, because performers now are required to get 14-day testing, it's probably safer sleeping with a porn star than somebody off Tinder or, you know, you meet in a bar because of these rigid standards. The downside is that, Oh, I was just going to say the downside is it costs folks a lot of money to test. And that's where, I mean, PASS is nonprofit. My services are all volunteer, but the labs that folks are using are making a lot of money off the performers. I mean, it costs around $250 to get tested.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And you're paying that every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. One of the labs has like a monthly pass. They pay $400 a month, unlimited testing. It's rare, but some people who are contracted with studios will, you know, that cost is covered. But for the majority of the talent, they're paying out of pocket. It's a lot of money.
Health insurance, I'm assuming, probably doesn't cover it.
It really doesn't. Because it's so frequent, the requirement, you know, I wish it could be done, you know, free, you know, a non-for-profit.
I wish we had national health care, but that's, I'm not going to go there, you know, at this thing, but, you know.
Yeah.
I had thought about getting into the industry in the 1980s and was so afraid of contracting HIV or AIDS that I was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a rough time. I mean,
it was. I wanted to thank you so much for, you know, doing this now and, you know, continuing with like trying to educate, you know, people and, you know, and I don't know if it's with social media, if it's more difficult or more easier. You know, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword sometimes. A lot of misinformation goes out too. So,
I would imagine that as well.
That's part of, you know, my job is really clearing up, you know, misinformation. I had a performer late last night reach out to me on Twitter who was dealing with a mycoplasma genitalium infection, and they're not in Los Angeles, and their doctor doesn't know what to do with it, and you know, not really treating.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
I don't either.
It's a newer STI, basically. It's known as MGen, and it became a huge thing last year in the adult industry because there was a big outbreak of it. So, but like you, I mean, I didn't really know a lot about it until I had to, and I think the general, you know, population doesn't know a lot, but it's kind of an emerging STI, but you know, when you have a closed sexual network, kind of, you know, like the adult performers, these things can just spread really quickly. So
what is it?
It's a bacterial infection, causes symptoms much like chlamydia or gonorrhea. It just hadn't been tested for until the last few years, and it's still not routinely tested for. We now have mandatory 30-day testing as the PASS standard for MGen, just to try to reduce the numbers of it going around.
I'm going to ask, just because I don't know and I like science stuff, and sure. It is treatable though, correct?
It is. The trick with MGen is it became resistant pretty quickly to the first couple antibiotics that were used. So unfortunately now, if someone gets it, it's a regimen of 2 weeks of two different antibiotics. And that puts people out of work, you know, for two weeks.
But you're looking at trying to pay your rent and trying to buy food and that kind of thing.
But
thank you again, and thank you for answering my question. It's nice to see you.
Thank you, Charles. Likewise. It's great to see you.
I guess this whole takes a whole different spin on when I was in school or middle school or early high school. You know, you had the talk and you know, in Scouts, we had the VD movie and this and that. I mean, if we realized that all of our friends were dying, like in San Francisco, left and right, maybe a lot of us would have taken the movie a little bit more seriously or wouldn't have sat in the back and went tee hee hee hee. And, you know, I think that Nowadays, I don't know what they do in schools for the talk, but it's got to be a different talk than what we had, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
Well, it varies, I'm sure, from state to state.
Yeah.
What's legal and what's illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
It was, a while back, I had a conversation with Sharon, and Sharon was talking about kind of what she talks about with regards to sex education. And I was like, that's a whole lot more than what I remember from sixth grade sex education. But it was interesting still to talk to her about it.
Sure. Absolutely. So, yeah.
I could, input some of this. I work in the same state that Pat does, and I work in the, well, I work in that educational world, and they are definitely kids. I mean, they're definitely doing assignments about STIs, STDs, learning about it. I mean, kids are Googling, literally copy-pasting the questions from whatever worksheet they're doing and putting into Google, and it's exactly about, you know, STD vets and STIs and the identification and everything like that. So at least in that world, that's definitely happening. So
yeah,
the education at least is there in that aspect of it.
That's great. Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate that, Cole. I know it's, and I don't know in Iowa what their, you know, their whole change in the whole educational landscape in Iowa now. So I have no idea what the hell they're going to be talking about in a year or two. They'll just be in private schools. They won't have to worry about it. But they're really changing things on that. Jamie, anything else we need to cover? Anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
I think that covers it. It's been great. I appreciate the questions and the feedback, and certainly appreciate Richard your history there. I love hearing that history, even though I know it was a rough time. I really appreciate that, and I've had the great honor of meeting several of the Golden Age folks that. And it's always fascinating for me to hear the stories and what was of concern at that time, and, you know, how different things are now. So I thank you so much for having me.
Leslie Winston says hi, and she's at another meeting right now, but she's a big fan too.
I love Leslie. But,
I guess just, you know, we try and do educational pieces on here once in a while for as much education as we can throw at people. Sure. When I was at Exotica, I wanted to get together. We did a deal, a program with Jay Crew. And Jay Crew, about the first half hour of his show, talked about his career and whatnot. In the second half hour, we talked pretty much about his prostate cancer.
Right.
And so with that, I wanted to team that up with Lieutenant Bell Alexi in December. Had to have an emergency, and to take her implants out. One of them ruptured, or one of them went haywire.
Okay. And
it was life threatening, and so I want to talk to her about that. And then another person I didn't get a hold of, and we said we got to talk about this. Rex Radiation had a penile implant.
Oh, okay.
The man was this close to losing his penis.
It
just, the whole story just made you cringe as a man. He had it done in the United States at the cost of $3,500, and it got infected, and they couldn't cure it, and they were insurance paid to take it out, which left him with just nearly nothing. Then he went overseas to, I think, Belgium it was, and they redid it for $9,000. Works like a charm. So maybe some week we'll get both of those folks on. We about our old age problems.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, Richard, you mentioned there was no Viagra back in the day. Now these guys are injecting their penis with called Trimix to get an instant erection. And And there have been performers that have come close to, you know, having permanent damage from doing that. But it's readily used now throughout the industry.
One time I thought that'd be kind of cool to have. I saw a John Holmes penis pump in the novelty section of my favorite adult store. I thought, you know, kind of cool to have a John Holmes sized penis. So I got that thing and pump, and boy, I took that off and I could do the windmill and the helicopter and all sorts of stuff. And girlfriend thought that was pretty cool. It's like, do it again, Dad, do it again. You know, and so anyway, did it again and pumped one too many times on the penis pump and broke a blood vessel.
Oh Jesus. Yeah.
And talk about hurt, and the whole left side of the penis was black and blue and red, and that was the penis pump ended in the garbage.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be John Holmes that bad.
Yeah.
I felt very fortunate that I came along when I did, because I'm not an exhibitionist. I didn't know that. I learned it in front of the camera, which is a hard place to learn such a thing.
Yeah.
And the shame and humiliation that I went through in the early days of adjusting to being able to do that, because I kept getting work because I was an actor. And at that particular time, they were trying to make movies that had sex in them. They needed actors too, and they kept trying me out. What I'm trying to say is that I would have taken anything. I would have taken all that shit. I would have really fucked myself up trying to make this an easier experience than it was. And, you know, it turned out to be the old-fashioned way. You just fail so many times, and then there's no shame left. You know, you're out of shame. What else can you show me, God? You know, I know what it's like to fail. How do you do this? And trying to get a conversation going with the other men, it was live and let die.
No,
nobody was inclined to want to help the competition.
Right.
So that's how it was coming up. Right. And I want to say, Jamie, if I can ever be of any use to your work, please ask.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I will take you up on that for sure.
Okay.
All right. Well, Jamie, we certainly really appreciate that. You can reach out to Jamie Bell on Twitter at Jamie, JAMEYNP at Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of you on Twitter.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. For the Los Angeles LGBT Center, you are the director of sexual health?
Yes.
That's right. All right. Good. And then you can go to the website passcertified.org if you need more information on that. All right. I think we covered all the bases. And again, I want to thank everybody. You got to think, it's not the glamorous topic we're talking about today, but it's a needed topic we needed to talk about. So if nothing else, that covers our education box for the year. So we appreciate Jamie Bell for being a part of it. Again, next week, don't forget, Angel Grave will be our guest. We'll get back to that. I can't wait for a guest in a couple weeks. It's Jason with the Squeaky Clean Adult Films. Oh, boy, I tell you what. I'll give you a snippet here. He was, I was at breakfast, and Mickey Lynn was at breakfast with me. We were just having a chit-chat. Anyway, I'm scrolling through my Instagram, and Jamie says, oh, my God, you're a picture of Mickey Lynn. I'm working on a movie of hers right now. And I said, well, I'm having breakfast with her. So anyway, I pulled out my camera, and Mickey did about a 15-second hi thing. And anyway, that was in last Sunday's Squeaky Clean Adult Films. If you go to Barefoot Independent, they did Up and Coming a while back. That was a nice one.
I just saw that. I watched that.
They cut out all the sexy stuff and just have just the plot and the dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
What a novel idea to take all the sex out of a sex film and see what's left. And Up and Coming, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I was surprised because normally, you know, a sex film without sex in it is like, oi.
You know it was a serious movie when Herschel Savage says, capiche?
Yeah.
But anyway, he'll be with us. And anyway, in last week's Barefoot and Independent, he used that clip of Mickey Lynn, and he was just all giddy about it. And I thought, shit, I had supper with Ginger Lynn one night. I couldn't have done the same thing. But anyway, We'll throw him a few. I know we're going to have some definite golden ages on for when he's on, because I know Alan Adrian wants to talk to him, and of course Richard and a couple other people want to talk to him as well too. So
Patrick, have you ever done a show with Sharon Kane?
No, I haven't, because I haven't been able to reach out to her.
Okay, I'll talk to her for you.
Okay, that'd be great, because I know she's in demand. She's on one of those, if you can't get Vanessa Del Rio, if you can't get Lisa DeLeo, if you can't get so-and-so, get Sharon Kane.
Well, she's in the music business now, and she's got some promotions she wants to do, and they may serve both your needs.
Yeah, we can always do that. So anyway, don't forget to check us out, www.jizztalking.com. Also, you can find us on Twitter, at Jizz Talking, same way with Instagram, same way with Facebook, and of course our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JizzTalking. So we'll be back next week with Angel Grave. I hope you join us. We'll see you then.